The Bible reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, chief priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and fled for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in the vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Thus, what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to seek the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophet, that he would be called a Nazarene. Well, my family and I don't have a lot of strong Christmas traditions, but one of the things that we find ourselves doing most years is going out to look at the Christmas lights. Maybe you've done that too this year. Last night we wandered around to Leith Place near where Deb lives, and we enjoyed all the lights and the bubbles and the snow machines. But nestled right there in the middle of the street, in the shadows of a giant inflatable nutcracker on one side and an enormous inflatable reindeer on the other, was little baby Jesus, surrounded by cute fluffy animals. Now, I think it's great that Jesus was featured at all, but I reckon this is a telling picture of how our society thinks about the Christian Christmas story. Because I think for most people, the birth of Jesus is just another cute Christmas story. Whether it's Santa delivering presents from a sleigh pulled by flying reindeer, or Jesus being born in a stable surrounded by baby animals, it's all the same. They're all cute, they're all a bit fun, and it doesn't really matter whether they're true or not, because in the end, they're just harmless Christmas stories. Well, friends, wherever, whoever you are, well, whether you're a regular here at church, whether you're here because Mum dragged you along this morning and you didn't want to cause a fight so early on Christmas Day, save that for this afternoon. Whether you're here and you think the birth of Jesus is just another cute Christmas story, my hope for all of you this morning is to show you how the biblical Christmas story is different. It's not like Santa and Rudolph and the elf on the shelf. Because if it's true, the birth of Jesus is a story that forces us to pick a side. It's a story that's divisive. It's a story that requires you to make a decision. And that decision arises because of the claim that Jesus was born as a king. You see, Matthew begins his gospel account with the words, "This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah," which is a word which means king. Now, the Magi from the east come seeking the one who has been born king of the Jews. Jesus is a king, but he's not just any king. If we want to understand why Matthew tells us about these Magi who come looking for Jesus, we need to go back to Psalm 72, which gives us the background for this chapter. And Psalm 72 is essentially a prayer to God for the king. It begins, "Endow the king with your justice, O God." And it goes on to describe a king who will be perfectly fair. A king who will rule not just over Israel, but over the whole world. A king who will not just rule for a time, but forever. And one of the images that Psalm 72 gives us is of foreign kings coming to this righteous, international, eternal king and bowing down to him. Psalm 72 says, "May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him." Now, have you ever seen a ruler who always does what is right and fair? Who always seeks the good of the people they rule over? I don't think I have. But in Matthew chapter 2, Matthew wants us to see that Jesus is this king of Psalm 72. He is the righteous, international, forever king. And that's bad news if you want to be king yourself. That's the situation King Herod finds himself in. These Magi from the east come searching for the one who has been born king. These guys are apparently astrologers. They somehow inferred from the stars that the king had been born. And so they traveled a long way so they could worship him. And in verse 3, we read that when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Now, I don't know how you reacted the last time you heard a birth announcement. I hope it wasn't being disturbed. Because usually that's a happy occasion. If you're a woman, I'm assuming you inquired about the baby's dimensions, because apparently knowing the baby's length and weight is important information for all women to know about every baby that is born. Sorry if I'm stereotyping. But Herod's reaction to the birth of Jesus is that he's disturbed. And it's not hard to see why. Because he's the king. The Roman Senate had actually given Herod the title King of the Jews. And now these guys, these Magi, have traveled hundreds of kilometers to worship a different King of the Jews. As far as Herod is concerned, Jesus is a threat. He's a challenge to his power. Any ruler is going to be disturbed by that. I bet Kevin Rudd was disturbed when people in his party started talking about Julia Gillard being a better prime minister. I bet Julia Gillard was disturbed when a few years later they changed their minds. And on the other side, I bet Abbott and Turnbull were also pretty disturbed when challenges arose from within their own ranks. Any ruler is disturbed by a challenge. But you see, Herod was a particularly disturbed sort of bloke. One historian wrote about Herod that as long as he lived, no woman's honour was safe and no man's life was secure. He was renowned for being paranoid about losing his power, to the point that he had one of his wives, three of his sons, and his mother-in-law put to death because he was convinced they were trying to usurp him. Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, joked about Herod, saying it was safer to be Herod's pig than to be his son. Herod was disturbed, and he was particularly disturbed that there was a new king in town. A threat to his rule, a challenge to his throne, someone who might take away his power and control. And so what did Herod do? He did what Herod did best. He eliminated the threat, or at least he tried. He sent the Magi on a reconnaissance mission under the pretense that he too would like to worship this new king. But when they failed to provide him the information he needed, well, he took the nuclear approach. And he ordered the murder of all the infant boys in Bethlehem. So paranoid about losing his power and control was Herod that he stooped even to the point of killing babies. But did you notice back in verse 3 that it wasn't just Herod who was disturbed by Jesus' reign? Verse 3 says, when King Herod heard this about this new king of the Jews, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. The whole city was disturbed by the news of Jesus' birth. Now, maybe that was because people were worried about what an erratic, powerful king might do when there's a threat. It's never easy living under a volatile, angry ruler. Maybe that's what's disturbed them. But maybe it's that they too felt threatened by the arrival of God's king. You see, Matthew ends his gospel with Jesus' claim that all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to him. And if all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus, if Jesus is who Matthew says he is, then that means Jesus lays claim to authority over you. And maybe that disturbs you. You see, none of us like it when someone claims authority over us. Now just think about the last time you got angry. Some of you might not have to think back very far. Now, what is it that made you angry? Now, I might be wrong, but I'm willing to bet that something or someone was challenging your authority. Someone said something or did something that threatened your power and control. You see, when our kids don't do what we say, we get angry because our authority is being challenged. When the speeding ticket comes in the mail, we get angry because someone else is exercising authority over us. When our boss tells us to do something that we don't want to do, we might get angry because we know things would be better if we were in charge. And I'm willing to put money on it that over Christmas lunch today, there will be an argument in your family. Let's just face it, it's gonna happen. And on the surface, it will be about politics or electric cars or vaccinations or whether to play Michael Bublé or Frank Sinatra or what time to serve lunch. All arguments that we've had in my family. But at the heart of the argument, it will be about control. About one person claiming to be the authority on the subject and expecting you to bow down before them. We hate it when our authority gets challenged. And friends, Jesus challenges your authority. If he is king, it means you are not. His arrival on earth demands your allegiance. And that's bad news if you want to be your own king. And friends, try as you might, you won't win that battle. Jesus is king, and every wannabe king will one day have to answer to him. But friends, this Christmas, I want you to know that Jesus is the king you want. Jesus is bad news for wannabe kings, but he is good news for you. Who doesn't want a ruler who always does what is right? Who wouldn't want a ruler who always acts in your best interests? Who wouldn't want a king who brings perfect justice? Who wouldn't want a king who unites the whole world together? Every election, our politicians offer glimpses of these things, but none of them have come close to delivering it. If you could find a ruler like this, well, you do exactly what the Magi did. You seek them out. It doesn't matter that they had to travel hundreds of kilometers to find him. The righteous, international, eternal king had been born, and so they set out to find him. When you find him, you rejoice. Verse 10 says that when the wise men saw the star that led them to Jesus, they were overjoyed. But in Greek, it literally says they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. It was joy on top of joy on top of joy. And in that joy, you worship this king. The Magi literally bowed down before a toddler. Can you imagine how ridiculous that looked? The kids eating Play-Doh, and these guys are worshiping him. But they know that this is not just any child. This is God's forever king. And so you offer him your treasure. The Magi gave Jesus the best they had. They recognized greatness and they acknowledged greatness. And the question is, this Christmas, will you? Friends, the birth of Jesus may look like a cute and harmless tale, but it's a story that presents you with a very important decision. Because if it's true, if Jesus is the king Matthew says he is, if he is the king of Psalm 72 who rules the whole world in justice and righteousness forever, if Jesus is the king who is so committed to the good of his people that he was willing to die for them, and if Jesus is the king who will return to judge all people, well, then you only have two options. You can be like Herod. You can see Jesus as a threat to your power and your authority, and you can resist his rule and discover the hard way that Jesus is king, whether you like it or not. Or, friends, there's a better way. You can be like the Magi. You can see Jesus for who he is, God's gift to humanity. You can embrace his rule because you can see how wonderful it is. You can seek him out and bow down before him and offer him everything you have, and then you can rejoice exceedingly with great joy that God has sent his king to you. Friends, don't pass up the opportunity to make Jesus your king this Christmas. It will cost you your crown. It requires you bowing down before Jesus and submitting to him. It requires humbling yourself and acknowledging that you have made a bad king for yourself. But friends, as you do that, recognize that you have lost nothing and you have gained everything. Because in return for making Jesus your king, you receive an eternity of peace, love, and joy that starts right now. Would you pray with me? Our gracious God, we thank you for your gift of the eternal, righteous, forever king this Christmas. We thank you that Jesus is king, and while that does confront us with the news that we are not king, Lord, help us to see how good that is. Help us to see that as Jesus comes as your king, the one who brings justice and salvation, the one who shines as a light amidst the darkness. Help us to see that he's the king that we want. Help us to humble ourselves before him, confessing our sin. Help us to go to whatever length we need to seek him out, to bow down before him, to offer him our best, and then enjoy the rich blessings of being in Jesus' kingdom. Lord, we pray today as we celebrate. There are many things which are good about today, but help us to celebrate what is best, that Jesus has come as our King. We pray this in his name. Amen.